Psalm 87, again tonight we read the psalm. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there. Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. I want especially to leave with you verses 4 through to 6. I highlight especially verse 6. The Lord shall count when he raideth up the people, that this man was born there. The Lord shall count. Tonight we consider the divine enumerator. I have been considering with you this psalm for a couple of weeks. We've been looking at the church as a city. We first of all saw the glorious things that were spoken concerning this city. And then last week we considered why it is that the church is compared to a city. But today we consider the register of the city. We're thinking about the people and the enumeration of the people and the keeping of the census concerning the people. A city, you see, has people, doesn't it? It has citizens and the leaders of the city and the king of the city. He likes to keep a record of all the citizens and has a census of the people, registers the people. We still do that today. For adults in a city, we have an electoral roll that's kept up to date for all who can vote. And then there is a census carried out every 10 years or so of the community, of a country, or of the city and towns. A human census is detailed. As we know, all of you who filled in one, and the statistics can be analysed, and it's known how many adults there are, how many children, their ages, and many particulars about the citizens of the city. Well, these verses in this psalm introduce us to the divine census, the census of Zion, God's church. God counts his people. He registers them. In the scriptures, we see that from time to time, there was the numbering of God's people. You see, God is interested in numbering his people. The Lord shall count when he raideth up his people. He is a counter. God is interested in numbers. He is a God of order, a God of accuracy. God is mathematical. Mathematics, as you know, is a very accurate, a very precise science. There are no grey areas. Everything's black and white in mathematics for those who can understand it and comprehend it. And there are numbers and mathematical rules and equations and laws. And these mathematical laws and equations all exist because God, the Creator, is mathematical. He's interested in numbers. In the creation, at the very start, we are introduced to him, and he is counting the days. First day through to the sixth day, the seventh day, he rested. At the very start, he is the counter. During that creation, he made the stars. And the Bible tells us He telleth the number of the stars. He tells the number of them. He counts them. And not only does he count them, he calls them all by their names. And that's a marvelous thing. To call them all by their names. He registers them. He writes them down. He names them. Now, not literally on a scroll or on paper, but to us, that's how we picture it. He knows them all by their names. He knows the nature of every star, the size of every star, the brightness of every star. He is acquainted with all of them. Even though to us they are innumerable, they can't be numbered. I mean, astronomers tell us, whenever they try to convey to us something about the numbers of the stars, they assure us that we're not talking about millions. We're not talking about billions. We're not even talking about trillions. But we're talking about billions and billions of trillions. We're talking about a lot of stars. And I don't know how they get even to that approximation. But we certainly know the number is big. I mean, God even told us that. Remember, he brought Abraham out under the broad sky at night. He pointed him up into the heavens. He says, look now to the sky, to the heavens and to the stars, and tell the number of the stars. If you're able to count them, tell me. And of course, even with the natural eye, Abraham couldn't count the number of the stars in a clear night in the Middle East where there's no pollution from street light. And with the telescope and the more powerful telescopes, you begin to see there are billions and billions and trillions of them. So they can't be numbered. We can't count them. We can't even imagine that kind of number. It's just beyond our wildest imaginations. Think of the time it would take to write each name down of all those billions and trillions of stars. Spend a second writing a name. A man in a lifetime without sleep could write down 37 million names. And you know what that is compared to the stars in the universe? It's like a bucket of water out of the ocean. That's all it is. And God knows them all, and he names them all. That would take us, you know, billions and billions of years to name, just time-wise. And in a moment, he knows them all by their names and can say all their names in his mind in a moment of time. I mean, the knowledge of God is just past finding out. It's no wonder the psalmist says his understanding is infinite. And so it is. And just a reflection upon the stars tells us that. In a moment he can tell them all. The mind of God, who can measure it? Who can fathom it? It's far above us. And so we know that we can trust the Lord. We can depend on him to get it right. His leading, his guidance, his counsel, his laws, his word. We can trust God to get it right. And not to lead us astray. We can trust in him at all times because he has this infinite understanding and he counts all the stars and names them all one by one. But of course, we're not talking about literal stars tonight, are we? We're just using that as a kind of illustration. We're talking about spiritual stars. We're talking about saints. We're talking about the people of God. His dear redeemed ones. Does God care for the stars? Undoubtedly he does. Counts them, names them all one by one. But we are sure, having redeemed his people by the blood of his son, he cares far more for the stars that are his people. The illuminators of the world, the saints, we know that the Lord cares for them far more, and he counts them and he names them one by one as well. The people of God are his jewels, his much-loved saints. And we see that in these verses before us here, don't we? God's people are innumerable too. Now, if the church was just reduced to free Presbyterians, this would not be the case. But you know that God's people are far more than free Presbyterians, number-wise. You know that, of course. You know that God's church is far bigger than us. We are part of it, but just a bucket in the ocean of time among all of God's redeemed. And the saints are like the stars, innumerable. Whenever Abraham was shown the stars and asked, could you count them? God then said to him, so shall thy seed be. Innumerable. Can't be counted by man. And we read in the book of the Revelation that a great multitude stood before the Lamb and before God, the redeemed. And it said concerning them that no man could number them. They were dressed in robes of white. They had palms of victory in their hands. They were from all nations, peoples, kindreds, and tongues. And very definitely they could not be numbered by man. Innumerable, which no man could number, John says. They're as the sand of the sea, God's people. They are as the dust of the earth, like the stars, innumerable. So get out of your mind that God's elect throughout all time. Get out of your mind that they're just a small number. We mustn't measure things by what we see today. We have to measure things by all of God's plan from the beginning to the end, and we don't know how much time is left to the end. We have to measure it as God sees it in his mind, and he assures us that his people will be innumerable, a great multitude. In fact, I do think that it would be even correct to say there'll be more in heaven than there will be in hell. Heaven in the Bible is pictured as a broad place, as a wide place, as a great place, as innumerable angels and innumerable saints, and yet hell is but a lake of fire and a pit, however bottomless it may be. It's a pit. And so we're not picturing them things as vast and great as the expanses of heaven and the number of the redeemed. And in all things, Jesus Christ shall have preeminence. And I'm sure it will be in that regard too. But whatever, I'm saying that God numbers his people, even though to us innumerable. Numbers them, names them, knows them. Such knowledge is too high for us. We cannot attain unto it. But we can rest confident that God attains unto it. And in the Bible, when you read the scriptures in the Old Testament, you see that there is an interest in numbering the saints of God. God has an interest in that. Whenever Israel went down to Egypt, they were numbered. 70 precious souls, the Bible says. They all were saved and delivered from famine, and they were brought down into Egypt. And whenever they were redeemed out of Egypt and brought out, they were numbered. Read the book of Numbers. Even the title itself tells you, God counts his people. They had multiplied exceedingly, and there were 600,000 soldiers and warriors besides other folk amongst them. So they had multiplied and God counted them. Not only God numbers his people, and whenever he designates men to do it, it is only through his command and according to his guidelines by his Levites. David discovered that, did he not? Remember, he tried to number the people of God without an express command from God, without involving the Levites. And whenever he tried to number them, And it was really all about pride. Now, that's what numbers are all about among men, pride. A plague came on the land. God's people are not in the numbers game to swell their pride, or conversely, to depress their mind. That can happen as well. The smallness of the numbers can depress our mind, just as the largeness of the numbers can swell our mind. But God doesn't want us to be in the numbers game. If we number, we go one way or the other, because we cannot do it right. We don't see the whole picture. We don't know the hearts of men. We don't know God's elect. Only God does. And only God can number his people. And he does so, as this text says, he counteth them and he writes up the people in his register. Now notice that the register is God's book. The Lord writes up, he writes up the people. The counting is the Lord's. The recording is the Lord's. It's God's city, you see. He is the king of it. The highest himself shall establish her, it says. And that's the one who does the counting. The one who is concerned about the numbers. This appears to be a future writing, doesn't it? The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. A writing at the establishing of Zion, whenever it's completed. A writing after time has passed. That's the way it appears to us. We can't count a man until he's been born. We can only count him and register him when he's been born in time. That's the way we think. That's the way it's expressed to us as creatures of time. And it appears as if God writes up the book of the redeemed at the last judgment then, when he writes up the people and counts up the people. The number is taken and the tally is given. But of course, we must never forget that God is eternal. He is not limited by time. He is beyond time. He's outside of time. Time is his creation. And he knows the end from the beginning. His mind never changes. He never receives new understanding, new illumination. He is the eternal one. The infinite one who has all knowledge, all understanding, even of the end. It is all clear to him. The future, the present, and the past are all present to him. And now that's maybe hard to understand. Of course it is, because we're in time, and you know, we go across time, we travel through time, and it changes minute by minute. But it is all present to God. All of it, because he is the eternal one. He is not changing. And the register is known by God before the foundation of the world. That's why it's called the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. God knows the names. He's given them to his Son to redeem. He knows them all by name. It's not that he's going to be surprised. Oh, there's another name to put in. No, it's not like that. It's done even before the foundation of the world. And at the end of the world, the books are opened. And it all tallies up. And there are no mistakes. And whoever's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire. So, at the end of the world, it's not that God writes the book up for the first time. It's more like it has been written up before the world in the eternal covenant of redemption. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He calls them by name. They've been given to Christ before the foundation of the world, and in time, he is incarnate and redeems them. And at the end of the world, he checks their names in the Lamb's Book of Life and writes, yes, this man was born there. It all tallies. It's all complete. There's not one lost when he talleth up his people. Not wishing to get into deep theology about predestination and the eternal decrees of God. These things are hard to comprehend. But what I'm really wishing to stress tonight is that God does the counting. And I want to ask the question, why? Why does God do the counting himself? Why does he not delegate this to some others? And the answer is, the main answer, and the one that I want to set forth tonight, is because the Lord cares. Because the Lord has a deep personal interest in his people. Every one of them. It's about the care of the Lord. It's not a case of the Lord getting others to do it, to register them, and then give him the figure. I mean, it's not what David was all about. Go out and number them. And come back to me with a figure. Come back to me with a number. And I hope it's a really big number, a large number. That's not God's interest. He's not interested in a number coming back and it just being a big number. No, he's a personal interest in all his people. He counts them himself. He writes their names down himself. It is a personal thing with him. And it is to show to us his care for his people, his love for his people. You know, saints are not just a number to the Lord. You know the old saying, you're just a number. And we have numbers, national insurance numbers, and this number for this, the number for that. But saints are not just a number to God. He has a personal interest, a love, a care, a knowledge of us down to every individual. Do you see how the individual is in the text? This man was born there. Not these people. Not just these people. Not just the corporate body. Not just the whole number. This man. This man was born there. And then, verse 5, of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born there. It's personal. It's individual. It's not in the plural. This man, that man. And then the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, and this man, and this man, and that man, and that other man. That's what the Lord's trying to get across. It's very individual. It's not just corporate and a big number, but one by one. He's a tender regard, a tender care. He knows our story. He knows our testimony. One by one, that man. This man was born there. I know the day. I know what happened. I know the story. Because the Lord was there. Personally. In his mighty power. So one by one, man by man, they've come from the Gentiles largely. Verse 4. But they're personalized. Individuals. And their names are written in heaven. The rest of the Bible tells us whose names are written in heaven. You remember Paul spoke about the sisters? And their names are written in heaven. Individually. She was born there. She belongs to Zion. Yes, of course, there is a corporate body. And the Lord loves the church. But he also loves the individual. Like Saul said, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And so this proves that each one is born again. Each one has had the new birth experience. The Lord has worked in everyone's heart. And maybe some have died in infancy and may not have felt much of the Lord's work in their hearts. Might not have known much. But if they're in this register, they were born again. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Even if the infants who died weren't conscious of a new birth, the Lord knows who are the saved. So the Lord has a deep personal interest in every believer. That's what I'm trying to get across tonight. For your comfort, I know my sheep. I call them by name, the Bible says. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Fear not, he says, I have redeemed thee. Thee, singular. I have called thee by name. By name. Thou art mine. I have surnamed thee, the Lord says. Even whenever you didn't know me. Even before you didn't know me, I wrote your name down. I surnamed you. I had your name before you even knew me. So that proves that the Lord didn't just write the name down after they were saved. He had the name down before. They even knew him before they were saved. Mine elect, I've called thee by name. Remember how the Lord said to Moses, and he says the same to every one of his people, thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he called him by name, you remember. And the Bible says he calls his own sheep by name. He counteth the number of the stars. He names them one by one. He tells their names. And that's just God's people, who are the real stars in the universe. So this is mainly about the Lord's care for you, you see, individually. You personally. That's what I want you to take home with you tonight. That's really the lesson this evening. The Lord cares for you. Cast all your care upon him, seeing he careth for you. This is the proof. He counts you, he names you, personally deals with you. And that's what this image is all about, mainly. Now, I know that there are other reasons the Lord has for keeping the register that we could think about. Well, who else is going to do it? Who has all the knowledge? Who has all the wisdom to be able to write all the names down? Who knows the God's saints? Who would have the time? You know, I've told you it takes a lifetime to write down, you know, just, you know, so many millions of stars. But we couldn't even have the time for it. We wouldn't have the knowledge for it. Only God could do it. There's no one else. Only he is sovereign to do it. Only he's eternal. Only he is omniscient. He knows all things. He sees all hearts. He knows who truly were born again in the church. We hardly even know our own hearts, let alone the hearts of others. How could we number up God's elect? How could we keep the book? Not even angels could keep the book. They don't even know either, only what God shows them. They see a saint and he professes and then he falls into sin, and maybe the angels are wondering, where does he stand? What's he about? But the Lord knows. The Lord can write infallibly. He knows them that are his. Even when they fall. Even when they backslide. Even when they don't look like they've been ones who've been born again in Zion. The Lord knows. He is timeless and eternal. And he can write them all up in a moment. And then if men write them up, there would be so many mistakes and you'd need a rubber and the whole book would be a mess. If we were doing it, we would get it wrong. We'd leave some out. We'd put wrong ones in. We'd want to write our loved ones in, wouldn't we? We would want to include those who do not belong. Our prejudices would get the best of them and we'd want to write them in. But God has no prejudices. He does all things well. He does all things justly and righteously. And he knows who to write in and who to leave out. But we couldn't do that work. We are not righteous. We're not without prejudice. I mean, if a Presbyterian writes this book, he might leave out the Episcopalians and the saved among them. If Luther wrote it, he would almost certainly leave out Zwingli. He might even leave out Calvin. He wasn't too happy with him at times. So no man could write this book. There are some people who, if they wrote, they wouldn't need too many pages. because they don't think too many is going to heaven, only themselves. You've heard the joke about the strict denomination up in heaven in a wee room of their own. And as all the saints marched by, all the rest of the saints marched by, the angels said to them, just be quiet as you pass, because they think they're the only ones in heaven. Man can't keep this register. Only God can know the hearts. But as I say, those aren't the main reasons why God keeps this register. It is to convey to us his minute care for all his citizens, for all his people. He delights in his people. He loves to write their names. He loves to think upon them. He says that they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. That's another image. You know, a man's jewels, they're what he really cares for, aren't they? Something dear. A man calls his jewel. Maybe you call your wife that. A jewel. That would be good if you do that. Because that would be showing that you care for her. She's dear to you. Well, God, his people are his jewels. Everyone's precious. Everyone's dear. Everyone's guarded. Everyone is personally registered. He makes up the number and tallies them, and he checks that the number is always the same. And there's not one missing. That it all tallies all the time. He personally cares that all are present. He personally cares that not one of them is lost. That they are all encased, all protected, all preserved, all looked after, all cared for, none neglected. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's his tender care. The care of the shepherd. You know, the shepherd has to be a mathematician. The shepherd is counting all the time. He has his flock of sheep. He knows them all by name. He knows them individually. He knows their ways. But he personally counts them all the time. And that's the image that is here, you see. His detailed care for every member of Zion. You have the shepherd, he leads the flock, he leads them through and through the day. He's going to bring them into the fold at night. Maybe the fold is a stone enclosure made out in the fields, miles and miles away from the town. You would have seen them in Israel, those old stone enclosures, and there's one way of entry. He would be at the door. He's the door. He counts them in, one by one. Not one's missing. And if it is missing, where does he go? He leaves the 99. Off he goes. Has to find it. Brings it back to the fold. He counts them in. Not one missing. And he lies at the door. He sleeps at the door. So that none will go out. But they have to go out past him. And when he leads them out in the morning, he counts them out. The Lord counts them out. So that not one is missing. Not one is lost. This is his care. Individual care for every sheep, for you who believe in the Lord Jesus, he careth for you. That's what we're learning from this psalm tonight. That's what this text is about. It's not about pride. Oh, I have a big number of sheep. It's not about that. It's not about increasing the number even. It's about not losing one. That's what it's about. And that's why he counts them up. When I was with them in the world, you remember the Lord Jesus said, I kept them in thy name. Those that you give to me, I kept them, and none of them is lost. Not one. So that's what it's all about. Of them which thou givest me, I have lost none, he says, to his heavenly Father. This is the Father's will, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. And the only way to be sure that you don't lose anything is to be always counting them so that the number is all the same. My Father, give me that number, innumerable to us, but known by the Son of God. You've given me that number And at the end of the day, not one of them is lost. Not one. This is what this counting is all about, you know. All tallies at the end. All are ticked off in the Lamb's Book of Life. This man is present. That man is present in the judgment day. He was born there. She was born there. They're all present and correct. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They will be there that day. I will bring them all to glory. Every one of them. Not one lost. No man will pluck them out of my hand. Not one. And that day, you see, then, there'll be no mess in the book. There'll be no confusion about this register. No names in the book beside which you cannot put, this man was born there. Every name has that beside it. This man was born there. This man was the one who experienced the new birth. This man was one who was brought out of darkness into light. One who was adopted into the family of God. One who was sealed by the Holy Spirit. Who was bought by blood. And names of people who were born there, but they're not present in the book anymore. Their names are not in the book. I mean, there's no confusion like that. Not there anymore. No, it says this man and that man, they're in the book. They're all here. There's none missing. There he is. Whether from among the Philistines, whether from among the Gentiles, whether belonging to Rahab in Egypt, whether they're Ethiopian, whether their skin is of another color from other people, whatever the color, whatever the race, whatever the culture in the background, this is what makes them to be one. They were born in Zion. They're members of the church. They belong to the body of Jesus Christ. They've experienced the new birth. When the roll is called up yonder, they're all there. All the citizens are accounted for. All the inhabitants are present. Why? Because the Lord has kept them. He's kept the number. He's always checking. Satan has not snatched any away. An invading army has not depleted the citizenship. The captain of our salvation will say in that day concerning all the inhabitants of Zion, they're all present and correct. This man, that man, and the other. They all were born there. And there's none missing. And on it goes. You see, this repetition of this man and that man is setting forth the detail count. Not one missing. So the instruction and the lesson tonight then is, child of God, that he careth for you personally. He knows you by name, you who believe in Jesus. He knows your struggle. He knows your enemies. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your needs. He will not fail you. But he will shepherd you as the governor of his people, as the king of Zion. He will shepherd you to the end. He will shepherd you to the very end, all the days of your life. Every day, he counts his people. He is guarding them. His register will be infallibly kept. You who have trusted in Christ, he will keep you to the end. And at that great day, they'll be able to write in the Lamb's Book of Life, after every man kept kept, not lost, but kept, written beside everyone, kept by the power of God unto salvation. This and that was born in her, kept, not lost. So you see, we don't have a lost tomorrow theology. This doesn't recognize that. He telleth their number and he keeps the names. They are preserved to the end because the Lord cares. The Lord cares. So you won't perish, child of God. However hard the battle, however long the strife, keep on believing. Keep on trusting in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Say, Lord, keep me. Keep me by your grace. Let goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life and bring me into the heavenly glory through your grace. He will, for he careth for you.